wanted to begin by stating that while the situation is very complicated in the Middle East, there are, however, very clear Israeli policies in the West Bank and Gaza that directly impact the health of Palestinian people and violate human rights. That being said, the Israeli occupation, I want to focus on two points. The Israeli occupation results in the geographic fragmentation of the Palestinian territories and prevents the Palestinian healthcare system from functioning adequately, therefore negatively impacting the delivery of health services and the health status of the population. I will emphasize Israel's construction of the wall in the West Bank has limited Palestinian access to health and education services. Second, while the constellation of human rights violations by the Israeli government are linked to the deteriorating health of the Palestinian people, I will be focusing on the right of freedom of movement, Article 13 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, as it directly impacts the health of the Palestinian people and has had social, psychological, environmental, and economic consequences. This is especially important in relation to the constructed barrier and must be addressed in order for any formulations of peace to be practically realized. In order to discuss the situation in the occupied territories, it is essential to provide, in way of introduction, a historical and political brief within the context of international humanitarian law. First, it's important to get oriented to the geography. The area to your right over here is the West Bank, and this area, along with the Gaza Strip, are considered under international humanitarian law as the occupied Palestinian territories. The state of Israel was established in 1948 with over 800,000 Palestinians displaced from their homes and over 400 villages destroyed. In the 1967 war, which is depicted in the map, the Israeli military occupied the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem, the remaining 22% of what was Palestine. These areas are considered, under international humanitarian law, the occupied Palestinian territories. UN Security Council Resolution 242 calls on Israel to withdraw from the territories occupied in the 1967 conflict. However, after 20 years of occupation and the consequences of occupation experienced daily by the Palestinian people, an intifada, or resistance movement, erupted in 1987. Later, in 1994, after the Oslo agreements were signed, the Palestinian National Authority was established. In 2001, the Israeli government announced construction of the wall, or separation barrier, in the West Bank. The International Court of Justice has deemed the barrier contrary to international law and found that Israel should cease construction and dismantle parts of the barrier already built. As of today, Israel continues to extend construction of the barrier and occupy, by definition, both Gaza and the West Bank. Recently, much has been portrayed in the media regarding the intermittent withdrawal of the military forces from Gaza. It is important to note, however, that the partial withdrawal or redeployment of Israel's military presence in and around the territory is not a controlling factor in international law to determine the end of an occupation. The end of occupation rests essentially on the termination of military control of the occupying power over the government affairs of the occupied. Recurrent military attacks in Gaza, the shutting down of electricity, power, water, and gas, and the closing of banks make apparent Israel's unyielding military occupation in the region. As though Palestinians were not already suffering from displacement since the signing of Oslo, there has been an accumulation of Israeli policies and actions that seek to further fragment the Palestinian territories and retard the development of Palestinian health infrastructure, a process Sarah Roy at Harvard University has called de-development. These are illustrated here in the map, which I've extracted from the OCHA website. These are closures, checkpoints, trenches, partial checkpoints, barrier gates, earth mounds. Israel continues to illegally occupy Palestine through a complex military and civil network of Jewish-only roads, illegal settlements, which create a matrix of control over every aspect of Palestinian life. Since September of 2000, Palestinians in the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem have suffered increasing numbers of movement restrictions imposed by Israel. Citing security reasons, the Israeli government has imposed a strict internal and external border closure that has virtually imprisoned the 3 million inhabitants of the occupied Palestinian territories. Tactics include gating off entire localities for extended periods of time without access to emergency medical services or primary health care, curfews extending from days to weeks to months. That is to say that for a Palestinian to go from one Palestinian town to another, so if you want to get from the north to the south, you would have to cross a series of checkpoints. The Palestinian is never sure he will be allowed through a form of collective punishment prohibited under international law. Severe movement restrictions for patients, providers, and supplies imposed by curfews, checkpoints, and barriers numbering over 750 at times have all resulted in a decline in health outcomes. Women deliver at checkpoints, children and the sick and the elderly are dying. They're waiting to cross to receive treatment. Dialysis and cancer patients are often denied access, leading to their death. Thus, Israel's denial of Palestinian right to freedom of movement achieved through a policy of geographic fragmentation via closures, curfews, and the building of the separation barrier has resulted in the inability of patients to get well and access available health resources, however insufficient they are. 70% of the Palestinian population live in rural areas and cannot access hospital services because specialty clinics are primarily located in the urban centers of Jerusalem, Nablus, and Ramallah. This further aggravates the ability to access care. The inability of health personnel to reach work destination as well as the prevention of essential health goods, including vaccines, drugs, medical devices, and emergency vehicles and personnel from reaching their destination points are also a consequence of these movement restrictions. The Israeli government's disregard for Palestinian healthcare has taken a heavy toll on the Palestinian population, with their health conditions aggravated and complicated by Israeli practices that violate a multitude of human rights, including the right of patients to receive care, medical and essential supplies, and medical personnel to carry out their duties, Articles 17, 55, and 56 of the Fourth Geneva Convention, respectively, from the confiscation of land and forced displacement to the repeated excessive use of force by the Israeli occupation, the healthcare community in Palestine has confronted extreme challenges that brought severe limitations of the existing system to the fore. In addition to the health consequences of mobility restrictions, Palestinians continue to face an increase in malnutrition, as well as the deterioration of chronic health conditions due to the extremely dire economic situation. The effects of all measures that restrict movement of civilian patients, as illustrated in this map, are multiplicative and compounded. It is not only that patients can't pass, but they are forced to wait, are turned back, or otherwise not regarded as humanitarian cases. They are at the whim of circumstance, at the arbitrary mood of the highest-ranking officer at the checkpoint, barrier gate, or military outpost. Oslo, a so-called peace agreement, directly shaped this closure policy and has had a devastating impact on health and the healthcare system. As if closures and curfews did not cause enough suffering to the Palestinian people. The first and second phase of the barrier further fragments and isolates Palestinian towns and villages. The first phase, 188 kilometers long, affecting the three northern West Bank districts of Jenin, Tur Kerem, and Qalqilia. Everything in red is basically everything west of the barrier. The first phase, which affected only the northern districts, has affected a population of over 500,000 people in 172 localities. Because the route of the barrier deviates from the 1967 border between the West Bank and Israel, the Green Line, which is over here, the Green Line, in addition to the established system of military checkpoints and roadblocks throughout the West Bank, the barrier and its limited number of access gates has been criticized by humanitarian agencies for blocking access of Palestinians to work, healthcare, and education. The barrier has blocked access to primary, specialized, and emergency health services and had led to decreased immunization rates, hospital bed occupancy, hospital births, postnatal care attendance. In a study published by a group of researchers at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, the effect of the barrier construction on the ability of staff and beneficiaries to access health and educational facilities were evaluated. The survey was conducted in May 2004 at 78 health facilities and 121 schools in the northern West Bank districts of Jenin, Qalqilia, and Tur Kerem to assess the impact of the barrier on access and the use of health and education services. The study found that the first phase of the barrier has had a negative impact on access to health facilities and schools, statistically significant increases in distance and travel time between communities and schools, and the health facilities which serve them were noted. Statistically significant decreases in student and staff attendance at schools and the staffing at health facilities were also observed. This is illustrated here in the table. The consistent inability to adequately staff clinics or the systematic increased distances and times to access care could have detrimental effects on patient outcomes, both curative and preventive in nature. Continuous monitoring of the effects of the barrier on access, utilization, health outcome indicators in communities at risk are discussed in the paper. Of interest, Calcadia City, where the wall barrier completely surrounds a population of 43,000, the more comprehensive primary health care clinics and the secondary hospital has seen an increase in patient volume due to their inability to refer acute patients through the barrier to tertiary and specialized centers in Jerusalem, Nablus, or Ramallah. These clinics reported managing sicker patients for longer periods of time. As of June 2007, which is only a few months ago, 408 kilometers of the total 721-kilometer barrier route has been completed, and 168-kilometer wall has been constructed separating East Jerusalem from the rest of the West Bank. In summary, Israel has an obligation to ensure the welfare of residents of the West Bank and is prohibited from making permanent changes like the wall to the West Bank borders and that do not benefit the local inhabitants. Assuring access to education and health is further enshrined in the Fourth Geneva Convention, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, the Convention on the Rights of the Child. Israeli policies not only transgress international law but have increased morbidity, degrade health, promote premature deaths, and ultimately make peace in the region much less likely. Clearly, with military occupation and barrier construction, there has to be an end. And despite all these challenges, efforts to promote and enforce human rights, social justice, and peace need to continue. I just want to end kind of looking through the map here, which kind of goes through the Oslo process, closures, checkpoints, and now the barrier. And with continued discussion in the media about a peace plan, hopefully before the end of Bush's term, if you even just look at the history of, and of the geography and the checkpoints, the closures, the continuous construction of the barrier, and the failed peace process in the past, if there's going to be any peace in sight, something has to end in terms of barrier construction. It just makes sense in terms of the history, and it just makes sense in terms of the political situation on the ground and the situation of the Palestinian people and the effects of occupation on the daily life and the living standards of the population that's suffering daily